Hey folks, thanks for being a member of the Cafe Insider community. In addition to the Cafe Insider podcast and my weekly note, you also get bonus material from my interviews on Stay Tuned with Preet. This is exclusively for you. Hope you enjoy it. We've also touched upon, during the course of this discussion, culture and representation of Asian Americans in culture. You started the conversation talking about these movies from the 70s and the 80s about Vietnam and how they depict Vietnamese people. How important is a sort of diverse depiction of Asian Americans in movie and film and TV? The example I give, and I think I've given this before, but you've probably not heard it, was, you know, Indian Americans get played or used to get played as either running a 7-Eleven or, you know, chief of surgery at a hospital. And to me, it was a revelation when I first saw, Harold and Kumar go to White Castle. The fact that Cal Penn was playing a pothead, to me, was a revelation. And I thought had advanced the depiction of at least Indian Americans.
Kumar's phone, Kumar speaking.
Hey, what's up? It's me. What are you doing?
Nothing important. I can talk. What's going on?
Listen, I can't party tonight, okay? I gotta stay late at the office.
Dude, we had plans.
I know, but I got a lot of work to do.
When has getting high ever prevented you from doing your work?
And maybe that's sounding, you know, like too much. But what do you think about the importance of that to, you know, it's not about a legal matter, but about how Americans view Asian Americans as being other or being like them?
You know, my stance is that representation matters, but it's not enough. So we'll get to the not enough part in just a moment. But representation certainly matters, in both in the political sense that you talked about, Preet, but also in this cultural sense. And I, too, took great inspiration from Cal Penn being a pothead in that movie as well. And what I've said is, look, you know, we as Asian Americans and many minorities and peoples of color live in a state of narrative scarcity, which means that almost none of the stories are about us. So when a story comes out that's about us, we put enormous weight on that story, an unfair amount of weight, because when you're in the majority, you have narrative plenitude. Almost all the stories are about you. So if there's a bad movie about someone like you, you're like, whatever, it doesn't matter because I have 1,000 other movies about people like me, and we can't depend on that. But, you know, to achieve narrative plenitude, it means that, number one, we have a lot of representations out there. And number two, that when we have a lot of representations out there, we can afford to be mediocre. This is where the Cal Penn example comes in. We don't need, not everybody needs to be the doctor or the surgeon general, or my God, you know, the stereotypical Indian American success story is that not only are you a doctor, but you're also a writer. You know, you do everything. And sometimes
I don't know why you got to malign Sanjay Gupta like that.
But I think there's more than one example.
The bane of my existence, that guy.
I know, they set the bar so high. So let's set the bar lower.
And all the epidemiologists are Asian American, it seems like.
Yes, of course. so that's part of what it means to be equal in this country, the equal right to be mediocre, just like every other American. But on top of that, the not enough part, I think, is really crucial. We certainly need all these faces out there in politics, in culture, in the movies, in the music. It's very inspirational to a lot of people. And we assert our belonging partly in that way. But the not enough part means that there's all this stuff that happens behind the scenes, the structural inequities, the back rooms where the power decisions are being made, the pipelines that are being constructed, who really has the capital and the influence. That requires a much more significant structural change within our country that's still undergoing and a long way from being fulfilled.
Jill, are there any depictions in pop culture of Asians that affected you? And how do you feel about this issue of representation culturally?
So I agree with Viet. And I, you know, I'm a social scientist. I mainly look at survey data. And I might have been skeptical of the importance of culture at one point in my life. But I will give it to my friend Viet that his books and novels have brought really Asian American studies to the larger population. And I think it's tremendously important because it's one way in which people can understand many of the academic arguments we've been talking about through a more mass media form. And so it's really thrilling to me to see more representations in the cultural sphere. But I also agree that, of course, we need organizing. We need to have more people getting involved in political work and in really doing that hard day-to-day work of mobilizing our community and getting them fired up. And so we see that Asian Americans have been leaning Democrat for a long time. There's a lot of consensus around the environment, healthcare, and issues like affirmative action. So a majority of Asian Americans support affirmative action, but we need to match that consensus with real mobilization on the ground around the issues that we care about most.
What's going to end this newest wave of violence? I know that's an unfair question. I will note the long pause.
I assume you can edit this out later, right? No,
we have great answers for everything.
No, but look, that goes to why it's a hard question. It's one thing to diagnose a problem like this. It's quite another thing to solve it when there's so many human variables involved and, you know, entrenched attitudes on the part of people. You can't undo that overnight.
Well, that's why I think that, if we go back to the example of Asian American history where the violence has gone in spikes, that we'll see an end to this spike, and probably with the end of the pandemic, there will be less stress. And there's also a stronger Asian American response to this spike of violence than there has been in the past. We simply have much more visibility. We have more political representatives. We have more political and community organizations that Janelle has talked about. So I think all of these factors are going to contribute to the end of this spike in violence. But I do think that there won't be an end in the final sense that I think you might be implying, Preet, that we're not going to stop anti-Asian violence in the next year or 5 years. It's going to go latent, and it'll be ready to be reactivated during moments of political and economic stress unless we tackle the underlying issues that we've been talking about for the past hour.
Thank you again for becoming a Cafe Insider. Listen to the Cafe Insider podcast every Tuesday with Ann Milgram and me, and stay tuned every Thursday.